Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and I'll be flying this plane for the next 3 hours, and we come to you live every Sunday night at this time, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And we really appreciate you people back east staying up late, but it's a lot better than what we used to do. We used to get off the air at, I think, 1 a.m. Monday morning Eastern time. So we adjusted our times to accommodate our friends east of the Mississippi. We have an exciting show for you, I think. We're having to do some juggling at the moment, and in just a moment we'll be joined by my good friend Bob Griswold, and we're going to be talking about more on survival issues, because when we have him, an hour is never enough. So I've scheduled him in to be a regular guest usually about once a month, once every 5 weeks. And the stuff that he teaches us, the stuff that I learned just from doing the interviews, is invaluable. And he says he's got some insight tonight on what he thinks about these blood moons and Shemitah and all the stuff that people were so excited about in late September. And I have to be honest with you, folks, I'm not into that symbology. I didn't go there with that. It didn't mean much to me, and I'm just going to kind of let it ride and see what Bob has to say about all that. We're also supposed to be joined by Dane Wigington. It'll be his first time on our show. Hard to believe, because Dane's been around for a while, does great work, and we're going to be talking about geoengineering. And geoengineering is one of the hot buttons today. And, of course, in the third hour, we'll be joined by Katie Whalen, our health reporter. And we have perhaps some breaking news that'll be coming our way at the bottom of that segment. So you want to stay tuned for that. And it has to do with Planet X. And you guys know I'm kind of lukewarm on the topic. I'm not convinced. Well, one of my good sources has come across some information, and he's coming on tonight, hopefully at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be sharing that with you. Well, our crack producer, Todd, has told us that we have Bob standing by, so let's go to Bob Griswold. He's a survivalist expert, a prepper deluxe. He's got a great website, readymaderesources.com. I encourage everyone to visit his website. And, Bob, thanks so much for joining us and being, flexible. Thanks for
well, you know, the Bible. First of all, it's great to be back on. The Bible says to be in season and out of season. So, you know, you want to always be ready. It's not something that we have to really contrive up. It's something that we, if you live a life and you really do it. People ask me, you know, I enjoy what I do, and it's probably because, you know, I grew up. My father's a naval officer, and I grew up on Little Creek Amphibious Base, which is the home of SEAL Team 2. Now, you can imagine I was in the Boy Scouts there, so I had Marine Recon and Navy SEALs as my Boy Scout leaders. Now, people have told me that ruined me for life, but, I mean, I enjoyed being ruined, so I enjoyed growing up and with that mindset of never waiting for someone else to take care of an issue. Always be the person that leads. You know, one of some of my Marine Corps friends always say, you pull the string, you don't try to push it. Today we have so many people that try to just push the string, and you really can't. If you can get a visual image of that, trying to push a string, it doesn't work real well. If you get a lead, if you're going to teach, if you're going to demonstrate things, you know, it's going to cost you something, and you're going to be the guy out front leading. And I'm not saying I'm a leader in it, but I'm just saying in the areas that I do, I want to be seen as the person who does what he says, tells others to do. And, you know, for the last, gosh, 15, 16 years, we've lived on our homestead, and, you know, each year we've added different, I guess as you can say, increments to it as far as making our place more self-sufficient, self-reliant. with, you know, water catchment systems, solar energy, again, setting up the property so that I can monitor it, and as far as security, organic gardening, animal husbandry, and we even, I'm a luthier, which is a guitar builder, and a ceramic, I do ceramics, so those are two hobbies I do that actually, I bring in income on the side that I do. So it's the thing that we want to do is really start, you know, making our lifestyle in such a way that we start to incorporate skills and techniques back into our life that our grandparents knew. They knew how to do this stuff. It wasn't something like, look at that guy, he's special, he knows how to do something. No, our grandparents knew homeopathic medicines. Our grandparents knew how to grow without the benefit of modern-day fertilizer. You know, our grandparents knew how to conserve energy or make energy or use wood to heat their house. You know, in a lot of parts of the country, when the northern western expansion happened, they had to understand security and watching their back and doing that, how to store crops, how to dehydrate food. These things aren't, you know, unusual. I know the modern government tries to make people who do these things look odd or whatever, but it's for thousands of years people did it, and most of the people on the planet still do it. Because they're not afforded the same luxury we have as with our modern day on demand agricultural system.
Well, Bob, I would add one thing to what you just said. Not only does the government discourage us and make fun of us, they vilify us in reports like the MIAC report, where they call people like you a terrorist.
You know, you're a Christian, you're a terrorist.
Yeah,
exactly. If you're a jihadi, you're welcome into the country. If you think that the murdering of children is wrong, you're a terrorist. If you think that there's a standard for marriage which has been recognized by all religious faiths and all cultures pretty much throughout history, you're some type of bigot or intolerant. You know, if you believe in biblical morality or normal standards for life, then you know you don't fit in and you're vilified. And I know each of us, I know you too, Dave, we've talked about this and you've shared some things with me, that there's a price to be paid for this. And yet, the benefits, I think, in the long run, are eternal, and they're temporal. I mean, and I am absolutely convinced, I want to say at the beginning of the program, I am absolutely convinced, because I know what I call the mathematics of God, and I'll explain that statement. That's a coined phrase I made up, I think. I don't know if anybody else made it out. But God has things that he absolutely moves on and does. And when a nation violates his law to the degree that we have violated his law, murdered millions and millions of children, we have now destroyed the sanctity of marriage. It started with easy divorce and has moved on to where now anybody, pretty much anything, can get married or call it marriage. We have taken and made entertainment our God. So that that's what Americans want today. We want to be entertained. If we can't be entertained, then we need a copious amount of drugs. You know, we're the most drugged society in the history of the world. Now, I want to give the caveat here. There are people that do need, you know, that do go through very hard times, very hard depressions. I've known women go through some very difficult depressions after childbirth and things like that. And there are special needs in those circumstances for people who need these things. But, you know, one in every five Americans is on a mind-altering drug, and those are the legal ones, never mind the street drugs that people mm-hmm. are on. You know, we have, because of our food industry that pumps out food, we have the largest health problems of any nation that has ever been. I mean, the weight issue in America is catastrophic. We have a nation that is addicted to sexual depravity. We have leaders, I mean, that are just corrupt. And even this weekend, you saw a million people, or however many were in Washington, were saying, down with the USA, down with the USA. We see this uprising right now, rebellion in our nation, that people want to throw off the United States. They want to destroy the end of the government. Now, I want to end the bad government, but I still think the framework of how our government was founded is probably the best it has ever been. So, with that, addressing the blood moons and things, Jesus, because I do respect Jonathan Cahn. I think he's a man of God. I think he has always talked about the blood moons and the Shemitah and all this with a caveat that God can do whatever he wants. But the Bible does teach us there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the heavens. And there was a lot of astrological things that were going on during September, and those could be the signs. Jesus said they were kind of like birth pangs. And, you know, my daughter-in-law just had a baby, and it took 12 hours from when she said, you know, she was over at the house, she was over at our house because we were going to watch our other granddaughter, and she says, I got to get to the hospital, or that she goes to a birthing center. And so 12 hours later, she had the baby. So with things like these blood moons and stuff, could they be real? Could something have happened? Could they be a sign? Yes. Jesus did allude to it loosely, that there would be those signs. But, you know, at the same time, in fact, you know, the wise men knew to follow, go to Jesus because of a sign in the heaven, a star. So I don't want to totally discount them, but I think people at times think they're going to see some big event, and then when that big event doesn't happen, they go in and they get depressed, or they get, you know, what have I done all this for? And yet, we have to keep in mind that they're birth pangs. So, what did we see in September? I mean, we saw a substantial drop in the stock market, which I want to address this. And Dave, feel free to dialogue with me.
I just want you to run with it, because I want to deal with the symbolism. Because I get a fair amount of mail that tells me, Dave, you need to pay attention to this. And my hesitation is what you just said, Bob. It's how many days have come and gone with false predictions and false signs, and the people look silly for making them. And I don't like to report on things unless I have a reasonable certainty that it's true.
Exactly. And this is where we have to become more wise, is the fact that we do not want to fall into a trap of saying, well, that didn't happen, so it's not going to happen. You know, when we look at the fall of nations, the collapse of civilization, again, I think the key that Jesus gave is that it's birth pangs. There is a moment when the new life comes forward, but it there's a lot of pain in between. Now, again, these signs in the heavens, I'm not going to throw them out, the baby out with the bathwater, but don't look to one sign that says this is going to be the sign and then, you know, all of it's going to come apart. What we did see, like I said, a substantial drop in the stock market, which I was going to say something. In God's economy, or in just the economy of a nation, what is more important? We always talk about the collapse of the stock market, and yet, have we seen a collapse of morality? So here's the question, Dave. In God's economy, which is more wicked, the collapse in the stock market or a collapse in morality of a nation?
I would say the selling of aborted fetal body parts for profit by Planned Parenthood. More detailed answer than I think the question you asked me, but yeah, the morality issue hits us square in the face.
And so here's a sign. It's a sign that just it screams at us that we are witnessing a world and a nation that has absolutely taken human life, because we're not the only ones that are practice this. I mean, the selling and of human tissue is a global phenomenon. It's just not a local United States phenomenon. But we see that we've murdered millions and millions of people. So I want to put that out for people to chew on that for a bit. Is that this thing with the blood moons, and we were disappointed because something didn't happen, which I think it did. I think we did see, like I said, a drop in the stock market. You did see these signs in the sun and the moon. We had the International Day of Peace, which, you know, the scripture teaches that there will be peace. There'll be crying that. We had the Pope come here, and he's promoting this one world government. We saw Jade Helm with this massive troop movement and troop material location. There was a lot that went on, and this is the thing, again, that I want to make people or say to people is that isn't that a huge sign? Isn't that like a tremendous unfolding of what some would call biblical prophecy? To me, it is, and because it didn't unfold just the way I thought it might, or that others said that it might, doesn't mean it didn't happen. So we have to keep that in mind, the birth pangs, that a lot is going on right now. You know, we are facing a financial collapse. Never in the history of the world has a fiat currency survived. This country is trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Now, we say that, and everybody listening has heard that so many times, we become numb to it. And here's a greater lesson to learn from that than just becoming numb to the word trillion. And now we're even talking quadrillions and derivatives. But, you know, 30 years ago, if you'd used the T word, people would have thought you were out of your mind. 40 years ago, if you'd said homosexual marriage, you know, 50 years ago, if you'd said we're going to murder 70 million children, our borders are going to be open, we're going to have floods of people here that hate us, we're going to let them into the country, people would have thought, you know, as Steve Quayle has been accused of so many times, of being out of his mind, and yet...
Exactly.
But he, everything he said...
He ends
like,
up always being right. He always ends
exactly.
up being right. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, 30 years ago, when he started, people go, Steve's out of his mind. And yet, everything Steve said 30 years ago, that's in the rearview mirror. I mean, and people have forgotten that. I mean, it's not happening today. That's in the stuff he's talking about. That's in the rearview mirror. And so, my exhortation and encouragement to people is, do not grow disheartened or weary when you don't see a specific thing unfold the way somebody said it might. It is happening. Stand back and look. It is happening. You know, just some of the things that Jesus did say would happen at the end of the age. War. Do you know, in the last 100 years, more people have been killed in war now than in all other history? And this is another thing that we can be guilty of. I can be guilty of it. You can be guilty of it. Because our lifespans are only 70 years, and basically, you know, when we're in our 20s up to 30, you think that everything's okay and nothing will ever happen. So you're really, your thinking and reflecting years are from about 30 to, you know, till we die, 70, 80 years old. And so that's a very short time span to look on things. And so we have this reference to time that says, especially with today's modern news, that the story changes every minute, and it's done on purpose so you can't concentrate on one. It's like the old MTV when they'd show you those videos where they'd flick a scene in front of your face for 2 or 3 seconds and it'd change and it'd change and it'd change. Well, that's a psychological method where you can never make a moral judgment on the picture, because before you can make that moral judgment, they've changed the picture to a new picture. And in a lot of ways, the news is done the same way. And so we see these, what you would call epic events happening right before us, and because we've become numb to it, just like we've become numb to the word trillion, now we're becoming numb to the word quadrillion, we've become numb to signs that history teaches us. So this isn't only just for Christian people, even though I am a Christian, so my framework comes from that. But it's anybody who just looks at a history book, pick up a history book and read it. If we take it from our point of view, we miss it, because our point of view now is daily news, 24-hour news, and so yesterday's news is old news. If you reported a story, Dave, from last week, people would say that's old news, wouldn't they?
Exactly.
And yet, in a very short period of time, in our lifetime, we have seen war that has killed more people than in all of human history. We are seeing greater and greater these catastrophic volcanoes and earthquakes. We've seen pestilence that has wiped out, I mean, millions and millions of people. Famine, the ethnic violence. I mean, Christ said that, you know, ethnic against ethnic. Everybody hates everybody today. Everybody's against everybody else. You know, we see this inexorable move towards a one-world government. The Pope's calling for it. Our leaders are calling for it. World leaders are calling for it. The UN is calling for it. And sadly enough, a lot of our Christian church leaders are calling for it. We see a one-world economy developing. Now, I would make the comment right now that we currently live in the United States and in a larger, and it grows every year, in a society that is already cashless. Now, let me say that with an explanation. How many people live their life using cash? Nobody. It's a check. It's a credit card. It's some type of draft. It goes through the banking system. In fact, we see now the move to make cash illegal and suspect if you're using it for any kind of purchase at all, other than maybe a bag of cough drops. And even then, you're probably suspect. So, you know, we see these signs that history and the Bible tell us that we are heading towards this time in history that says it's going to be the worst time ever since the days of Noah. And so my encouragement is, for those of you who are preparing, half prepared, and you're looking and saying, I've spent a lot of money, well, join the club, I've spent a lot of money too doing it, and yet don't miss the forest for the trees that are there everywhere. They're everywhere. We can just go to the words of Jesus. You know, there's the signs in the Bible. False prophets would be everywhere. They'd be exploiting people for money. We don't see that today, do we? Bible teachers exploiting people for money. I'm being facetious. Homosexuality. I mean, you know, at the end of the age, it talks about that in Timothy. There'd be earthquakes in diverse places. People's stress. Their hearts would be failing them. I mean, you just look at the people today. I mean, today, the heart issues people have because of stress. Wars, people would forsake the commandments of God. Love would grow cold. Pornography has absolutely destroyed civilizations because people, I mean, and if you listen to Steve, I mean, in 10, 15 years, you're not going to even have to have a real woman. You're going to be able to get an electronic, you know, automaton woman that you can just turn her off when you want to listen to her. And what will that do to women in marriage then? These are currently things that they're not pie in the sky. They're not like predicting and seeing it fail. These are things that are on the drawing board being implemented as we speak. You know, the institution of marriage would be forsaken. Like I said, the increase in famines, a cry for peace, the knowledge. I mean, the book of Daniel says knowledge and travel would vastly increase in the end time. And we see that happening. The church would grow apostate. There'd be a great falling away. A lot of cults and cult leaders all saying, I'm the Messiah. The future would seem fearful. People would become totally materialistic. And so again, do we see that happening? Do we need a blood moon when we have what I just said? Those are hard facts I can pull out of the scripture. They're hard facts that even if you don't believe in the scripture, you can pull out of history. That says nations and worlds that go down these paths end in destruction and in misery. As somebody said, godless states have one thing in common, and that's a lot of body bags. That history teaches us that. And so, just an encouragement to
you know, Bob, you said something earlier I wanted to go back to. It was so important. You talked about we've killed more wars in this century and all the rest of them combined. And that's true. But I'd also like to point to the Democide Project at the University of Hawaii. Many more people have died at the hand of their own government than in wars.
Well, that's the argument for gun control right there, is yes, Dave, I firmly believe in gun control. I think guns should be restricted. Let's look at the people who abuse them the most and restrict them first. And that's government. Governments have demonstrated over and over and over again, far more than the civilian population, governments have demonstrated over again that they are incapable and they do not have the moral to own these weapons without using them against their people and other people in an illegal manner. So, I mean, yes, we should restrict their firearms because over and over again they demonstrate they cannot use them in a just manner without going out and victimizing the innocent.
Well, we're never going to see that, Bob, because it's always a case for the elite of rules for thee, but not for me. Let me be case in point. The Pope comes here. Now, in years gone by, I've respected popes. I've listened to what they had to say. I've taken them seriously. I've worshipped within the Catholic Church. But this Pope isn't worthy of following. Let me give you an example. America, you need to take on even more immigrants. Well, you know, we're bursting at the seams. We need immigration because we have a declining birth rate among the natural-born citizens here, but we don't need, you know, ollie-ollie oxen-free. How many millions of immigrants can you take on from a third-world country until you become the next third-world country? How much of a burden on the social system is it? Because we're not getting people here who are totally self-sufficient. They're somewhat dependent on the system, as you would expect, given the nature of the people that are coming into the United States, both in the Middle East and Central America. I could go on and on. But the Pope says, you need to do this. Really, Pope? How many immigrants have you taken on?
Exactly. And then don't
he talks
build
about,
a wall.
Exactly. Don't build a wall. But they got walls around the Vatican.
Tall walls. And
it's unbelievable. Here we have one of the leaders of the Christian faith, the leader of the Catholic Church, a billion people on this planet. And this man can't be anything than less. He's duplicitous. Let's just call him that. The Pope is duplicitous, and he ought to be on his knees begging for forgiveness.
You know, again, we don't know what will happen to the Catholic Church. There's such a division creating in it now, and it's not the first time in history that the Catholic Church has split. We do not know if the Catholic Church, as it has existed during our lifetime, will survive his papacy, or he will sow the seeds that will bring its final destruction, because there is a wicked element within the Church. There are priests and bishops that love God, and yet it is being, the tares have been sown within, as they have in the Protestant Church. And saying that, Dave, this is just a side note. I would really encourage those who really want to follow Christ and the way he commanded is to start looking and thinking and planning about doing it in a local home church. You won't get your tax exemption, but you free yourself from the government and their regulations. And I do believe if the United States continues on the path it's going, that any churches that are open will not be worth going to if you're a biblical Christian. As you know, as people have talked about blood on the altar, we're going to see a fight come within the church, that the apostate church is going to attack the true church. And we need to start thinking along those. So that's, preparation not only is just physical, but we need to start thinking about those things, about preparing for what happens when we cannot attend a church that has not been co-opted because they've had to, co-opt either on the sodomite marriage issue or whatever moral issue or political issue they have to do, and they have to remain silent on so many of the great moral issues of the day. This isn't my phrase, but they said, we've reached our Dietrich Bonhoeffer moment in America, and we're failing. And I tell you, if I hear one more person tell me, God bless Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a great, courageous man. Yes, he was. It cost him his life. And I look at him and say, have you even said a word? This man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in Nazi Germany, was involved with overthrowing of the Third Reich. He was vocal about his opposition to Adolf Hitler. And sometimes the very people who extol Bonhoeffer are the very people who are the most silent. And it's just like, it sounds good, but what are you talking about? I know, again, Steve has mentioned so many times about people who criticize him. The very people who criticize him are the very people who do nothing. And so the very people a lot of times who quote these leaders of churches that have gone through persecution are the very people who remain silent. And it's not easy. Do you think it's easy? I know it's costing you, Dave. I know it's costing you to get on the radio and do this. I know it'll cost me people. People think at times, Griswold's nuts. They think Steve's nuts. They thought Jesus was crazy and they killed him. He had a demon, remember? He didn't have a demon, but they accused him of having a demon. And so it does cost something to stand out in the crowd and say these things that you hear on your program, not only from me and you, but all of your guests. It costs something. And so we need to be thinking in America post, what we would call post-Christian church, to where we meet in home groups or enclaves, because if this caliphate that the Muslims are fomenting in the United States, it comes into fruition, I think in my lifetime, if I live another 20 years, I will see extreme persecution come to Christians in America, Christ-following Christians. And so we need to start planning on what we will do and finding other Christians who are like-minded and people who are like-minded and reach out and say, how can we form a home group where we can have, real Bible study, real learning of God's Word and what it really says, and forsake the nominal Christian thing and become a disciple of Christ again, of Jesus. So that's just something to think about. But with that in mind, again, getting back to the physical preparation of things, we don't want to lose heart. We do not want to think that we've done this, because again, in historical lesson and in biblical lessons, God does not judge a nation in the future. I mean, he judges it in the present, because he can't judge a nation after it dies. It doesn't have a soul. So he brings judgment, and those judgments are listed throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 28 is a very good place to start with in reading about the judgments that he brings on a nation that forsake him. So, again, with that mathematics of God thing, what should we be doing? Where do we go? Do we keep falling for these things that say that there's going to be one event, that when this one event happens on this one day, everything's going to change? No. We look at it, we realize that they're like birth pangs. They are all around us. You know, I became a believer when I was 16 years old, and I immediately became interested in eschatology. And if I could go back to my 16-year-old youth and have someone tell me that America in 2015 would be like this, I would think, oh gosh, Christ is right around the corner. This is the end of everything. But we've been slowly indoctrinated into this lifestyle that we do not see it, and that's why we can fall for these big event things, and we need to be careful not to. I mean, Christ said many times, you know, I will give you no other sign than Jonah. Now, anybody who is really spiritually discerning would have known that. The rich man who died in hell cried out, said, someone to warn my brothers. And he said, no, they have the law. They can read it. And he goes, well, they won't listen to that. Well, if they won't listen to that, they won't listen if someone was raised from the dead. The big event, like the raising the dead thing, it's not going to do the job if you won't listen to what we already have here. And this is the encouragement, people, is that we see the historical signs again. We see the biblical signs. You know, your labor, God sees it. And this is what, as I was preparing for the program tonight, the fact that we do physically prepare, what philosophical statement does that make? And a lot of us are saying that is because we believe history, but more of us are saying it is because of the mathematics of God thing again. We understand that God does bring judgment, and as Joseph and as Noah, we knew that these times were coming, and that when they come, you know, there'll be oil in our home, there'll be food in our home, there'll be provisions in our home, and however God tells us to disperse those provisions, that'll be up to him, for each person might be different, but they'll be there and they'll be available. So don't lose heart. You know, I was just thinking of an encouraging thing to say, and the Bible says, be encouraged, for the Lord is coming. It says to be steadfast. Now, you think of that, steadfast. That means, you know, industrious. Now, that's a word kind of lost in the American lexicon today, industry. It doesn't mean manufacturing cars. It means a personal industry of just always looking to increase and to work and to be diligent and to labor. It tells us to be courageous. Don't be afraid of speaking out and saying things that are going to be counterculture. You know, when you call somebody a sodomite marriage, it's the truth. And again, as you know, we know this statement, the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. But it is the truth. I was talking to someone the other day, and in every demonstrable way, you know, homosexual marriage can be proved in biologically and emotionally as crippling and destructive. And yet, if you mention those things, as you know, people have, they're fired from their job, they're harassed, they're made fun of, and yet the CDC admits it. So it's not something that I'm making up. I mean, you go to the CDC's webpage and read it. It's there. And so be courageous. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. And again, the next one is what Paul told Timothy. He's not given us a spirit of fear, that we have to be afraid and fearful of what's coming or what somebody might do to us. You know, we don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman because we have the God of the ages on our side. It tells us to be strong, not to be weak. Today, I think we see a reflection of this in society, this emasculation of boys. Did you see the story on Drudge that it's now these, gosh, I don't know what you call them, females, are now coming out and having this symposium where they're saying men with big biceps, that's a form of discrimination. It was on Drudge.
I heard it. We have to put on blinders and put devices in our ears so we don't hear this nonsense and this evil. You know, there was a time, Bob, in this country that the gay movement would have been extremely happy just to have tolerance and acceptance. And most people don't like persecution, even against lifestyles that we may not agree with.
Exactly.
But this group today, that's running the gay agenda, well, actually, it's the LGBT agenda. They're militant. I mean, they're militant to the point where we're beginning to hear arguments of superiority and mocking of traditional lifestyles.
Yeah, throughout history, the gay movement has always, homosexual movement, has always had this superiority thinking that they are superior, that they're better than us breeders. So that's nothing unnormal, and you go all the way back to Sodom, where they came to Lot, and they basically said, "How dare you judge us?" And even Lot, I never have understood this, said, "I have two virgin daughters, I'll just throw them out to you guys, and you can do what you want, just leave these guys alone." And they were so depraved, they were like, "We don't want your women, send out the guys." It became militant, and when he said no, I mean, they were like breaking the door down to get inside at these people. So, there's always historically this violent aspect to it, because it's such an abrogation of the normal thing that biology teaches of procreation, and it's such an abrogation of that I think the violence is just part of it, because you're violating the very act that God chose to replicate humanity. And you think of this, we are the only beings that we know that when I have relations with my wife and she becomes pregnant and we give birth to a child, as my grandchild was just born, that's an eternal being. God has granted us the ability to create eternal beings. When we produce, through our union, a child, there's an eternal soul in that child that will be here a quadrillion years from tonight. It'll never die. And when we have taken this thing that God has given us, awesome ability to make after our own kind, children that will be spiritual alive forever, and we've abrogated that relationship into something that's vile, violent, diseased. And again, just go to the CDC. This isn't Bob. This is the CDC's information. It's right there on their website. So it's kind of a different direction I was wanting to plan on going today, but...
I think it's the great direction. And what triggered it was the question you asked me. Is this a moral crisis we're facing first and foremost? And I think unquestionably... it is. I remember we used to have debate. Go ahead, Bob.
If we juxtaposed it a little bit here, if we'd had a financial collapse that had equaled our moral collapse, you'd be burning money in the street. People would look at it and go, I tell you what, I'll trade you George Washington's for Monopoly money, because Monopoly money would be worse. If we were on a parallel scale to our moral collapse, to our financial collapse, they wouldn't even be making that stuff anymore, because it'd be so valueless. American morality is gone. It is gone. And we still have some financial, house of cards left. It's falling rapidly. But again, think on that statement just for a moment. That if we had fallen financially as much as we'd fallen morally, there would be no such thing as a dollar. It wouldn't be there. Now, you were saying, Dave?
That's a very profound thought. We would have the greatest of all great depressions, I think. I think you're right on the money. But when we look at the 1990s, I remember there was a fundamental question out there that we used to ask out loud. Does character count in our leadership? Just as long as they can lead, maybe it doesn't count. Well, 20 years later, I would ask America, does character count? Look at this president. Enough said. I mean, enough has been written about this man. Enough has been written about his character, his background, his, shall we say, duplicitous relationship towards the middle class of this country. In fact, Bob, to digress for a second, we're talking, if you just tuned in, to Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. And Bob, when we look at this whole genre of leadership that we have, you don't stay in Washington unless you're on the take. You don't stay in Washington unless you're taking campaign bribes. Yes, they're donations, but let's call them what they are. They're bribes from the pharmaceuticals, the insurance companies, from the oil companies. We're not represented in this country. We're not
Absolutely
represented
not.
One iota in the middle class. We are left to fend for ourselves. And when people tell me, oh, you're too hard on Obama, I'd say, really? Name one thing this man has done for the middle class. Name one thing he's done for Christians. Name one thing he's done for anybody that's not radical leftist extremist.
Well, there is nothing. There is nothing he has done for us. He's actually sought in every way to destroy the middle class, because the middle class is where, you know, we have the morality in this country. It's like he said, you know, in that speech, basically they want to cling to their guns and their religion. Well, historically, we know what happens when we give up both. We've given up largely our religion, and they're definitely after the gun thing to take the guns away from us, which I would really encourage people. I fear what this president is going to do in his last year, try to executive order guns. I would say if you don't have them, get them. If you don't have a fair amount of ammunition for each caliber, get them. Again, with the night vision thing, I think night vision and body armor are going to be on the chopping block. Get them, because I think these issues, he's going to attack these issues. He's already said he's going to do it. They're looking to meander any way they can to go extra constitutional and take people's rights away from them, and so that they have the monopoly on guns. And we all know what happens when a government has a monopoly on guns.
Well, it's called genocide. Yeah. And in case people have forgotten their history, 17 genocides in the 20th century, and every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation.
You know, people can go on YouTube, and there's a movie from the 80s. Rutger Hauer starred in it. It was called Escape from Sobibor. Sobibor was one of the death camps in eastern Poland. And there was a rebellion that fomented in that camp where the people realized, you know, we're not leaving here alive unless we do something. And when they brought in Ukraine, they brought in some Russian prisoners of war that were Jewish, and the civilians in the Russian army, were in this labor camp, Sobibor, or death camp, and they planned a way to get, you know, escape, where everybody would have a chance for escape. And part of it was, you know, to capture weapons unbeknownst to the Germans. You can watch the movie for free on YouTube. I would really encourage people to watch that movie and to see what happens, and just to reflect on what happened when people were disarmed. And then when they chose to, even in a prison camp, chose to arm themselves, the movie again is Escape from Sobibor. It's definitely an interesting and, you know, movie to watch. So you can, like I said, you can watch it on YouTube for free. So it's public domain. But anyhow, with that in mind, you know, it's the same thing we need to think about. We have our eternal salvation. You know, if I die tonight, and I don't know how many people are listening right now, but there's a good chance that somebody who's listening right now will not make it through this week. It might be me, it might be you, it might be somebody else. We don't know. I know my eternal security is there, but you know, what do I do if that does happen to me? Do I have life insurance to leave my wife, you know, so that she can, you know, not be all of a sudden put in a financial catastrophic position to where, what am I going to do now? Yes, I have life insurance. But at the same time we talk about life insurance or car insurance or, I mean, home insurance, Dave, I'm up in my communications tower right now. 7 weeks ago, we had a coffee maker catch fire up here. Did about $25,000 worth of damage. Now, in the time I've got it all put back together again, but I had insurance. Why? Because the fire could happen. But we need to think of that. What about food insurance? What about water insurance? I will mention this about ready-made resources. Right now, if people buy Mountain House food from us, for every $100 you buy, we're going to give you 15 pre-1965 silver dimes, the 90% ones. So if you buy $100, you get 15. If you buy $400, you get 60 silver dimes. You know, I think silver's going to be skyrocketing, so now's the time to get it, because if it starts skyrocketing, that number I give out will go down. But that's just a thing that we're doing at ready-made resources. But again, there's a lot of, you know, good ways to get your food. I mean, we tell people that want to buy beans and rice, you know, go, if you can get it locally and you can bucket it, do it locally, because the shipping is very expensive. So go there locally and purchase it. But you really, really need to think about it and not look at it like we started the program saying, well, nothing happened. Yes, it has. Catastrophic amounts have happened, and it's not good. And it's a harbinger of things to come, things that are here, and things that are coming. I personally believe there's only a short window of time left before all freedom worldwide is stuffed out. The UN is moving towards it. The papacy is moving towards it. Protestant religion, Protestant apostate religion is moving towards it. Governments of the world are moving towards it. The economies are moving towards it. everything's moving towards it. At the same time, we see a moral collapse, all those signs we said earlier. So I think with the abandonment, if and finally when they do abandon money, paper money or something you can actually carry around with you, then they can regulate. Well, you've already bought your 50 pounds of beans this month. Your credit card will tell them you've already bought it. Then you won't be able to buy anymore. Think of the regulation they can implement on the world if you do not, if you can't go down to the store anonymously and pick up 50 pounds and pay cash for it and walk out the door. If you have to go into a store and give a credit card and things are rationed at that point, then you won't be able to prepare unless you pay for it on the black market. And then the black market, you'll pay so much more and so much dearly for it. And then, like all black markets, you have to associate with people that you don't even know your safety will be involved. If you go down with something of value to trade, your safety could be in jeopardy. We've talked about the security issue. You don't want to find yourself on a black market having to barter on a black market. So this isn't something that we're telling people that might happen. There's some sign. This is something that they are moving towards, the elimination of cash. You've talked about it. Many people on your program have talked about it. Once they eliminate cash and you use some type of card or mark or whatever, then they can implement rationing very easily. So think about that.
Let me jump into this real quick here too, because I wanted to mention that what you just described, when you went through the elimination of cash, the control of all food by the state, you just described the first 30 minutes of the first Hunger Games movie. A little predictive programming, I would say. And before we run out of time, you made a very generous offer to our listeners, and I want you to go back over it again and tell people how they can contact you to take advantage of this offer.
Okay, well, they can, and if you go to the website and you purchase any Mountain House products, Mountain House number 10 cans, and we have, for free shipping, you have to buy them in increments of 6. That's a case. You can mix and match them, do whatever you want, but 6, 12, 18. But for every $100 you spend, you'll get 15 pre-1965. That's the 90% silver dimes. So at today's value, they're, $1.70, $1.50 a piece. I have to do the math, but somewhere in so you're going to get 15 of those things for every $100 you buy. $400, you get 60 of them. David, there's one other product, which is a brand new product we have, and I recommend people think about getting it. You can look it up on the website. It's called Gas Tapper. And what it is, it's a siphoning, electronic siphoning device you can plug into your cigarette lighter, and it's really, really well built. It's made up aircraft aluminum, but it allow you to bypass the anti-siphon things on your gas tank, and you can actually stick the thing down there and pump gas out of your car, pump it to other things. If you had an abandoned vehicle, you could pump gas out of it. Now, people ask, is it legal? I guess the presumption, like they're thinking, can you pump gas out of your neighbor's car? No, not without his permission. But it's a nice thing to have. I carry one with me everywhere. If I ever needed to give gas to somebody that was stranded on the road, or if there was, somehow to pump gas back into my car, that's available. It's a brand new product. I love it. I just put one on my vehicle, but it's called Gas Tapper, and just something people might want to look at. Very, very good product to have. But again, I know we're running out of time. Learn to communicate. I keep hitting that communication thing. When the internet and the cell phones go down, ham radio, radios,
night vision, Bob. Don't forget night vision.
That's what I was going to say. Night vision. We were out the other night doing a night shoot, it's amazing what you can do. I'm just saying that. It's amazing what you can do with it. And so I can tell you, if you have a grid down situation, you will trade food, you will trade water, but you will never trade your night vision. When you first time you look through it, and we get these calls all the time now because more and more people are buying it up for the program, they go, I had no idea. I look through some first generation $500 thing that I bought a couple years ago, and it's like, I look through this military grade night vision, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And it is. That's why we tell people, if you buy it and it isn't what I say it is, return it. We give you a week to return it. So I don't think anybody else makes that offer. You get it, and you go, oh, my gosh, I just wasted my money. I'll give you your money back. That's how much I know you won't do it, because when you look through it, you'll go, oh, my gosh. It's night vision is the thing, and especially with ham radio. When you mix the two, radio and night vision together, it allows you to set up security. We're not going to do something offensive. We're not going out looking for bad guys, but if bad guys come to us, we can deal with them. If I get hungry, and even though it's illegal right now, but if in a worst-case scenario, I can hunt at night, And just think, even search and rescue, if somebody got lost, the benefit of going out at night and just looking around, you know, and I can see through the, I can walk through the woods and see. And again, that the counterpoint to that is the fact that if I ever need to, I can leave my home, I can walk at night, I can travel at night, I can drive at night, where you can't do that too well. It's probably not too safe to drive at night without either headlights on or night vision. If you turn your headlights on, you don't want to try driving without night vision.
Exactly.
But again, it's not a cheap item, but to me it is absolutely an essential. And I can tell you that from a person who's used it. I've used it a lot. I know a lot of people have used it, and it is an essential item to have. Essential. Because I've made this statement, Dave, with a pair of night vision, I don't need a gun. I can take everything you own from you. And we've talked about how you break up sleep patterns, and that's what people do. They'll break up your sleep patterns. You won't be able to sleep. They'll go off and eat and sleep, and you'll think the boogeyman's out there, but you know he'll do his thing, and he'll start breaking your sleep patterns up over and over and over again, and you'll start making mistakes. And so you'd be able to counterpoint that is if you can see what's going on, you have your night vision. He won't suspect that you do, so you'll have the tactical advantage if you have it, and he's sneaking up on you. He doesn't know that you have it, and that's probably the worst of all positions to be in, having the hubris to think that you are the guy in charge, that you are sneaking up on him, and actually there's a little red dot on your head you don't see. Not a good place to be. So, you know, night vision gives people that capability. But again, you know, I know we're running out of time here.
No, we're good. We're good. We got about a minute.
Okay. Just again, don't be weary. Be steadfast. You know, if you're preparing, keep preparing. If you haven't started, start. Because the signs are historical and biblical. You know, like, just get a history book. Get a Bible. Read both of them. And you'll see the signs of national collapse, the signs of war, the signs of one world government, the signs of one world economy, the signs of ethnic violence, the signs of moral decline and moral slide are all there. They're screaming at us. And yet, if we choose to want to hear some other thing that, you know, that somebody's talking about, we don't need to hear that other thing. We have enough on the plate as it is right now.
I can hear that one thing in the background. It's called our music, which means we're going to our top of the hour break. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. This has been very enlightening, very informative. ReadyMadeResources.com is the place to go to make contact with Bob to find out about his great product line. Bob, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Everybody else, we'll be back in hour number two with Dane Wigington, and we're going to talk about geoengineering.
How to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.